We're just going to stay right here in the place of prayer. Just continue to keep your heart before the Holy Spirit, even in these next few minutes. I'm just continuing to be in 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19 with Elijah. And just even that last chorus that Karen just sang, I'm reminded of Elijah when he was so spent and wanted to die, and the Lord came and brought him bread and water. Eat and drink. Eat and drink. And even what was prayed this morning, we need the daily manna. And what Dan shared last Saturday night about the Lord's Prayer and the research he was doing on that, when it speaks of give us this day our daily bread. There's very old commentaries that indicate that is speaking of the showbread. The bread of his presence. The bread of the presence. Give us this day our daily bread. It's yes, we need our physical daily bread as well, and I'm sure it's fine with the Lord for us to pray for that. But more than that, we need him. He is our sustenance, he is our food. And I'm thinking of that scripture where Jesus told his disciples, I have food that you don't know about. My food is to do the will of my Father. That's what energizes me. That's what gives me fuel. Doing the will of my Father gives me fuel. Much more than earthly food. So this is what we're doing here. This is what the prayer movement is about. Getting that daily bread, the bread of his presence. In the early days, before the prayer room started in Kansas City, there was a prophet, Bob Jones, who spoke to Mike Bickle and said, where can a young man go to get delivered? Where can he go in the city? And of course the answer was nowhere. And I think the answer to the world's problems today are prayer rooms being raised up in the earth where people could come in at any time, night or day, and be delivered of oppression, devils that are plaguing people constantly. And just this last week, another mission space leader texted and said, I just felt the Lord's heart for our little prayer rooms, and it's so big. God is so happy, overjoyed that our rooms exist. They continue to exist, and it's a big deal to him, is what this leader said. She's a very prophetic person. And it's like we know that, but then we need the reminder, because it's very easy to look at the circumstances and think otherwise. Think that, is this making any difference? And on, how the enemy wants you to quit. He wants you to quit because he wants you to be discouraged and give up. That's just par for the course. For any of our callings, what we're doing, the enemy's always right there contesting. He's always right there accusing, saying, what are you doing? You know, we have to just close our ears to that and continue to say yes to the Lord. Because he has really big plans for little old me. You know, I mean, all of us are just little old me's, but he has big plans for us, and it matters to him. Last night we were at Parkwood Fellowship for United Prayer, which I invite you to come to that whenever you're able to. It's so powerful. The Lord is really on unity of the body. And so even when we gather, you know, one body to another body, even in a small setting, God blesses it in a bigger way. He just wants to put his hand stamp on it and go, yes, keep doing this. And so our Wednesday night United Prayer over at Parkway Fellowship and our all-night burns where we partner with them, there's always a special blessing on it. There's a blessing if you come. He gives extra energy. I mean, yesterday I was up from early, early morning. Sometimes I don't sleep. I might get up at 3. That was yesterday. And it was a long day. I didn't have a lot of rest during the day. And then we had a training at Parkway, and then we had prayer meeting. And I'm like, am I going to make it till 9 o'clock at night? But he gives extra energy, you know, and blessing. And so we're talking about the supernatural strength that Elijah had. And we just have to know God's going to give that to us too. You know, I was just so proud of the kids. Chandler this morning, who's one of our teens, came in and did a 6 a.m. set. And she knew she was going to be up late, and she did it anyway. And I'm super proud of her for coming in and just, you know, we're not going to be able to give him these offerings. Only from the earth in this place will we be able to give up sleep for him. Only here will we be able to give up food and make sacrifices and suffer for him. Like, only here can we suffer persecution and give glory to God. Whatever level of persecution it is, it might be within our own family, right? We suffer little persecutions, you know, sometimes bigger, and probably what's coming in the future in our nation. There will be persecution, right? There already is a level of that. That's only from the earth. Once we get to heaven, there's no more of that, right? So that's why the Lord says, you know, when people revile you and persecute you and call you all kinds of evil things for my name's sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. He gives us that message because he wants to encourage us that we only have here to do those things, to make sacrifices and give up those things and turn the other cheek and give those offerings to him. Our cross is only on this side. We can only follow the Lord in the cross here on the earth. Once we get there, there's no more of that. Which we want that. We look forward to that so much. But we have to remember that there's something so special about what we can do on this side. But anyways, back to my Elijah story, because there's two phrases sticking out to me. And I just want to bring them out again. And then maybe we can spend just a few minutes just waiting on God corporately for anything else that he would like to highlight or bring up, and just encourage you to continue to read 1 Kings 17, 18, 19. Pray, read. Read it slowly, read it prayerfully, ask the Holy Spirit, and get food for your soul, because there's something about Elijah that is for us. That's special. So the two things that are sticking out to me today are chapter 19. He said, when he told Elijah after all this crazy confrontation that he had, right? And he had the confrontation with the prophets of Baal, and then he ran for his life. He spent the night in the cave. And he was, you know, like I said, he was ready to die. And the Lord gave him nourishment, bread and water. That can kind of be seen like like communion, I think. You know, let me feed you my presence. Verse 11, though, he said, go out. God says this to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. This is the same mountain as Moses, when the Lord passed by Moses. He had the encounter of a lifetime right there. I mean, he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And that's when all the crazy stuff happened. And then the Lord came to him in a still, small voice. So I'm really feeling from the Holy Spirit. That was the encounter of a lifetime for Elijah. When the Lord encountered him in that still, small voice. And what does the scripture say? It says, Elijah was a man just like us. We have the still, small voice. Like, we have that encounter. So I'm just carrying that right now, walking around, at, you know, thinking about that, because that is holy. So precious. We have this encounter, the highest encounter I believe Elijah had, is the encounter of the still, small voice. And that's what we're carrying around on a daily basis. And we kind of, in a way, might take that for granted, right? As believers with Holy Spirit in them, we have that still small voice. We don't often think about it. Usually we think, I want to see fire come down from heaven like Elijah, or I want to see this or that, or an angel or something. No. Those things on the outside of us, those manifestations, are less, much less than the inside, indwelling Holy Spirit, still small voice. That's a way higher encounter. Way higher encounter than if an angel showed up outside of us. We have Holy Spirit, still small voice. And this is pure love. It's pure infusion love of God. That's who God is. He is love. That's his character, nature. Everything about him is love manifest. And when he encountered Elijah in the still small voice, Elijah covered his face. It was the encounter of a lifetime for him. And we have that. So let's consider that. Let's remember, let's be in awe that we have that. All of this in scripture is for us. You know, Mary carried the Lord physically. We carry him also. It may not be a physical, you know, like what she had. We carry Holy Spirit. We walk around carrying God. That is, we need to treasure that up in our heart like her and go, okay, whoa, wow. So I really believe that this thing that happened to Elijah was an example of what was coming on the global body of Christ in the future. You know, the still small voice encounter. He gave Elijah a taste of that, and Elijah was undone. Could not even look. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just, even now, we wait on you, God, as a corporate people. What holiness, Lord, what glory that you encounter us in a still small voice. A much higher encounter than anything outside of us. God inside. Lord, I want to ask you, God, for a fresh realization of these truths, that we would be in awe, Lord. We would truly walk around like Mary, treasuring up all these things in our heart. How could it be that you would live inside of me? How can this be? God, I pray that it would become so real to us, Lord. We would tremble. We would not want to do anything to offend you. We would not want to grieve you in the least amount, even the smallest way. But we would walk, considering our ways. We would walk holy, keeping our eyes fixed on you, Lord. That you encounter us in the still small voice on a daily basis. The encounter of a lifetime. How can this be? God, I want to ask you for an expansion in our spirit, in our inner man, that we would have greater revelation, understanding that you live in us, the holiness of that, the preciousness of that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder if anyone else